Hey everyone, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the art of the follow-up.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And this is one of those episodes where, like, I know Steli's better than me at this. And the reason for that is that I'm very good at responding when someone comes at me and emails me, but I know this about myself. I'm not as good as I'd like to be about following up with people. So I'm eager to learn. I'm a sponge here. I'm going to probably ask you some crazy questions, but like, bring it on. Like, what's the deal? How do you follow up? I mean, obviously I know why you should follow up. I get it. Right? Like, and I'm just going to start with the sales angle, which is like, if you don't follow up, like, you're not actually doing your job, right? This is probably why I've never done sales formally, you know, except as a founder, which is kind of different, in my opinion, probably for another day. Bring it on, dude. What's up? Like, what do I need to know about follow-ups? What does everyone need to know? I know you are very good at this.
So first, I have this vision that I want to go with you to some startup and do some sales calls with you. You know, at some point we need to do that. That'd probably be a lot of fun. When it comes to the follow-up itself, the advice I give about the follow-up is the highest ROI advice I give. And I know that just purely measured, yeah, by far. It's not, funny enough, it's not the type of advice I'm most interested in giving right now, right? So, you know, I was very passionate, you know, many years ago, but I've been giving the same tactical advice, adding some more and more case studies and testimonials and stories to this. But the core basic advice is always the same. And obviously, after years of giving this, it's not the most interesting topic for me to share with people, but I constantly still do it almost daily. And the reason for that is just the sheer amount of feedback that I'm receiving from people with real numbers attached to that feedback on how much value they received by following my follow-up advice. It's just not even funny. Like, we're talking, I don't know if tens or hundreds of millions, but the amount of deals closed, the amount of money raised, the amount of press received, the amount of people hired, the amount of things people accomplished and told me about afterwards, just purely by doing what I told them to do on follow-up, is just insane. So I feel this responsibility to keep sharing that advice because I know that people get a lot out of it. So, man, I think that, you know, that, so there's I'll summarize it, and I'm sure we're going to dig deeper, and this is going to be interesting to talk about with you specifically. But the basic philosophy that I have is that I think that, you know, a lot in life, to accomplish most things in life, you have to first show up, and then you have to follow up and follow through. And I feel like showing up is tough, but it's still fairly crowded. But the follow up and follow through, dude, there's just nobody competing with you because nobody does it. And the reason that most people are not following up and following through is that they take silence as rejection. The story in most people's minds is, if I had a conversation with Heaton, or if I send him an email and replied and said, yeah, that sounds interesting, let's talk. And then I suggest sometimes to talk and I don't hear back from Heaton, and I follow up maybe once or twice and I still don't hear back. Most people will interpret that silence as rejection. And they feel bad about it. And because it hurts to be rejected, and people don't want to, you know, continuously keep experiencing that emotional rejection, and because people don't want to be annoying or be received as kind of socially awkward or a stalker or whatever, they just stop there. They're like, well, Heaton said he wants to talk to me, but I emailed him twice and he didn't reply to me, so I'm going to stop pursuing that idea, that interactional relationship. And to me, that is a fundamentally flawed way of thinking. My hypothesis when somebody goes silent is that they just got busy. They have a life. That something popped up. Maybe they're sick. Maybe something's going on in their personal life. Maybe something changed in the business priorities. Maybe they're just having a tough time. Maybe I'm just not as important to them. Like, I'm just not the center of their universe. And depending on how important this topic is to me, how important this relationship, this meeting, whatever I try to accomplish is, I'm going to take full responsibility for making sure that happens. And I'm going to try to be a resource to you to make that happen. So I'm going to keep following up with you indefinitely, forever sometimes, until I get a result. Yes is good, no is good, no response, or what I call the maybe land. That's where companies, ideas, and value is going to die. That's where startups go to die. And that's something I don't accept that. So my follow-up philosophy is very simple. Take full ownership of the relationship. When somebody doesn't reply, just assume they're busy and keep giving them a chance to respond. And you don't have to get too fancy. There's a million different tactics and things you can do to make the follow-up more interesting, more curious, cooler, funnier, more tactical, more valuable. There's a lot of that stuff. And if you want, we can get into it. But at the most basic level, just keep following up with people with the caveat that you had some kind of an interaction before until you get a response, and magic will happen. I promise you. I'm putting together a book later this year that's going to be all – like there's going to be a ton of customer stories and testimonials of people that have closed the million-dollar deal, raised the round, got an article in the press just by keep following up persistently and consistently and not taking themselves too serious or not, you know, getting all emotional and emo about it. And then boom, after the 8th follow-up, the 10th, the 12th, the 20th, the person responded and said, you know what, thank you so much for following up. Sorry for the late response. I got busy. This happened, that happened, you know, but we want to move forward. Let's go. So that's in a nutshell, A, why I keep talking about it, and B, why I think that it's valuable, why most people don't do it. And if you do it, you're going to be like, you being the audience that's listening to us, your listeners, if you just start following up twice as much as you used to, if that's the only thing we accomplish in this conversation, we've made the world a better place. And every single person that's going to follow that advice, I guarantee you, is going to see more success and more results.
All right. I love, love, love it. So how do I do this? I'm scared.
Okay, I respect that. And I appreciate you sharing it, even if you're role playing for somebody. Well, first,
I mean, it's true. Like, why do people not do it? They're scared.
They're scared. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, I don't follow up with people on sales because I'm scared. I'm scared of what I'm going to hear. I'm scared of bothering them. I mean, you said it a lot, right? So like, to me, the root cause of this is I'm scared. So how do I get over that? I know it's an emotion and it's true, but like, I find founders all the time. I mean, they're scared of a lot of things, but like this thing, this is scary, dude. Like, I emailed them. They didn't respond. It's like, it's kind of like dating in a way, right? Like you're always thinking of like, do you respond? Do you wait? What do you do? And this is worse because like they didn't respond. Shit, they didn't respond. Like, what do you do?
Do I call?
I'm scared. What's up, Stelly? Help me out.
All right. So first, I think that I would tell you that you need to realize that fear is normal and everybody has it. Conquering that fear is what will help you succeed and accomplish things that other people don't, because they don't want to conquer that fear. So I wouldn't even say, don't feel bad about being afraid. That's totally normal. Everybody does that. I don't feel particularly awesome when somebody doesn't reply to my emails or doesn't reply to my communication. That's not something I love. But I've learned to get over myself and get over that fear. And I know that there is real value and power and growth associated to overcoming that. So that's what I would focus on. See that fear is what it is, which is an opportunity for you to stand out and accomplish the things that your competitors and other startups that compete with you will not, because they're as afraid as you and they're not going to take any action. In terms of the tactical, how do I do it? Here's what I would recommend to people. So there's just a few simple rules when it comes to the follow-up. Rule number one is that you want to keep it as clean, as simple, as short, and to the point as possible. Don't refer to all the follow-up that has happened before. Like, yeah, this is the hey, Heaton, this is the fifth time I emailed you. I've copied all the previous emails below. It happened over a time span of 4 weeks. I'm wondering what has happened. Like, this is all wasting time. Heaton knows he's gotten a bunch of emails from you he didn't respond to. Just ignore that. There's no reason to talk about the prior emails you've sent. Don't be needy. Don't get all emotional on me, right? Well, Heaton, you know, I know that people say you're the most generous founder in the valley, but I don't find it that generous when you never reply. Maybe you are a little arrogant. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you can give me the courtesy of just a quick reply right now. Whoa, don't do that. You know how many people, all joking aside, Heaton, I had like at least 5 or 6 times somebody sent me a message on Facebook, and I hate messages on Facebook. I'm not really great at keeping up with them. Send me a message on Facebook. Oh my God, I'm so inspired, Sally. I love you, blah, 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 all this good stuff. And then 2 hours later, send another message saying, hey, dude, what's up, blah, 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 ha, 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 smiley, why are you not responding? And then an hour later, sending me a hate message. I knew it. You're an arrogant asshole. You said we could always get in touch with you and ask for help. And here I am asking for help and no response from you. Whoa, motherfucker. Like, it's been 7 hours. Give me a break. This is Facebook messages. Like, just relax, right? So, you know, the fundamental truth is that, you know, we've all had this. We've all had somebody that has been emailing us and we know we should have responded, but we quite haven't yet. And we feel a little guilty about this. Don't make me feel even more guilty. If you make me feel worse, I'm never going to respond to you. If you make me feel, you know, weirded out or scared about you, I'm never going to respond to you. So keep it clean, simple, and nice. You know, this is a famous story I share over and over again, but I once followed up with a billionaire investor in San Francisco 48 times before I got the meeting. I got an intro to him. He said, yes, I want to meet. I emailed him sometimes to meet. I didn't hear anything. I emailed again. I didn't hear anything. 48 emails later, I got a response. Stelly, thank you so much. We had a crisis overseas. Thanks for the follow-up and follow-through. Can you meet tomorrow at 1 p.m. at my office? And all my 48 follow-up emails, all of them, total lack of creativity, all of them sounded something like this. Hey, dude, another beautiful day in paradise. Can we meet this Tuesday or Thursday at 1 p.m. or 3 p.m.? The next message would be, hey, dude, some good news. We just hired this amazing person. Look at this press release. Can you do any time in the morning this week? I'm totally flexible. The next email was like, hey, how about this Friday? Do you have time to meet? 48 times, my follow-ups were all one sentence, very upbeat, very positive, smiley, and very to the point. This day, that time or that time, let's meet. If there was some good news about our company or our product, I would quickly add it. Hey, here's a link. We just launched a big new feature. When can we meet this Friday? And that was it. I just kept it so light, so simple. And when the time was right for him to respond, he responded. So when you follow up, keep it simple, keep it light, keep it to the point. You want to, in terms of frequency, you might want to start more frequent at the beginning of the relationship and get less frequent over time. So if the relationship is hot, you want to maybe follow up a day later, then 2 days later, then 3 days later, then a week later, then, you know, 2 weeks later, then three, and then once a month, right? So generally, my advice would be to be very frequent at the beginning of the relationship, which is very hot, very top of mind, and over time to get less frequent, to not, you know, not kind of overburn that channel. And then when it comes to channels, and I'll wrap the technical stuff up there, when it comes to channels, there is a pyramid of what kind of tool or channel you can use to follow up, and both of them have benefits, pros and cons. Email is the greatest channel to follow up in the sense that you can do it 48 times or even more. It's very kind of undisturbing. It's in the inbox. People can look at it or ignore it, archive it, or do whatever they want with it. So you can do a lot of follow-up in the email. It's very convenient for the receiver to ignore and do whatever they want with it, whenever they want with it. So email is the channel I would use if it's not urgent. If it's absolutely urgent, you have a deadline, it needs to happen at a given time or right now, you move up the urgency ladder in your follow-up, but with moving up in the urgency ladder, you move down in the frequency, like the amount of frequency you can add to it. So, you know, you can email them 48 times. One level above in urgency might be to SMS them or text them. But you shouldn't do that 48 times, right? You can do that a lot less. One level above that is to call them, right? And again, you can't call them 48 times. You might get into trouble. You might not just be able to call them 2 or 3 times. And that's pretty much as you can do there. But it's much more disruptive. It's much more in their face. It's much more kind of real time. And the highest level is in person. Right, and that you obviously should never do 48 times. You might get into jail, right? But you know how many deals have been won by somebody, you know, saying, "Hey, I was just in the area, and I thought I would just drop by your office and see if you have 10-minute time to grab a coffee." I can tell you stories over stories of salespeople closing massive deals or saving massive deals by quote unquote just being in the area and dropping by in person to make sure that something happens. So that's kind of the how to do it. If you're like, I'm lost, I want to do more follow-up, but I'm not quite sure what are the conventions, what are the rules, this is the simple framework that I would offer you. I feel like I killed you with information. You'd be like, I don't know what to ask. Are you still there?
Yeah. No, that was a lot of info. Just thinking through kind of what you're saying. I think, dude, like, I have no depth here in terms of like how to get myself to follow up. What I do know, and I'm going to, I think we should end it probably with something like this. You might have something else to share, but this is so important. And I suck at it, you know, and you've given like a ton of tips like about, you know, how to get better at it. So I'm actually really looking forward to what you're writing later this year, just because for me, I see a lot of, it's easier for me to tell someone how to get over it than get over it myself. But at the same time, like, it's just, it seems like one of those things where you just have to force yourself to do it and practice, right? Like, it's much easier for me to just reach out to someone and sort of ask for help than to actually go do the next step, which is if they don't respond, follow up with them, right? That's the part that I always get hung up at. And I think the way you're thinking about it and the way you do it is like pretty awesome. So thanks for the tips so far.
Thank you so much. And let's wrap the episode up with a question I have for you, because I think this is going to be very valuable to people that are still internally conflicted about doing the follow-up or not, right? So I'm this big advocate for the follow-up, so I'm not a good person to survey on this, but you know, you are very high in demand. You have a big brand, and rightfully so. A lot of people know you. A lot of people admire you. A lot of people want your attention, your time, your feedback, something from you. So you get a ton of people reaching out to you. I'm just curious, if you honestly want to share this with the audience, whenever you work with somebody, it doesn't matter if it's a founder, a service provider, anybody that you've interacted with where maybe you have dropped the ball or you're not as responsive or whatever happened, how do you perceive the follow-up when it's done with you, when somebody's kind of is persistent and consistent in checking in with you when you know you've gone silent on them? How do you perceive that? Is that something that you find annoying? Do you think, well, my God, this person must be very unsuccessful because they're getting in touch with you so much? What is your kind of response when somebody else is good at the follow-up with you?
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. I'm always intrigued by interesting people and interesting emails, right? And I feel like not enough people spend enough time writing good email when they respond. So one thing is like, okay, you should respond. That's like really great feedback, obviously. But I think the bigger piece for me is like, how do you get someone to actually respond to that follow-up, right? And for me, like, I get a ton of these. I respond to very few of them. But the ones I respond to, they actually took the – honestly, it was very simple. They took the time to think of me. They actually took the time to think of me and didn't write me an email that feels generic. Even if it's not generic, it shouldn't feel generic. I mean, I'm sorry. Even if it is generic and they're sending it to everyone, it should definitely be a little more custom than what I would normally get, because so many people send, like, such – bad email, such emails that like I don't have any reason to respond to.
I love it. All right, we'll wrap up with that. For anybody that's listening, if you want to hear some more tips and advice on the follow-up and how to even use humor and gifts that convert really well and all that good tactical stuff, just shoot me an email, steli@close.io. Just put in the subject line follow-up, and then I will ignore you. And then 2-3 days later, you'll have to ping me again about it. And then I might give you early access to the book, but also just share some articles or some advice with anyone that feels like they need more advice on the topic of follow-up. It's always my honor and pleasure. And this is it from us for this episode.
That's that. See ya.